Mike Schoep.
You might be mocking me or you might be staunchly agreeing with me. I can't tell.
I'm mocking you.
And the Bulldog.
What is Fozzie Bear's role in this production?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. We're at 803-0550 if you want to jump on. Bulldog was not here last week. I'm remembering, and I heard about this from you, yet you were not here to discuss it with me, that Futures Day.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I was, I missed all that. Couldn't get my gamble on where I was.
So
couldn't get much of anything on. None of my apps, none of my video. Have you ever had this problem in Canada? What? Sorry, I don't mean to.
No, please.
So be quick. Like Fubo app, HBO Max, Hulu, like any of the video streaming apps that's how I get my TV now, chiefly Fubo, none of it worked up in Canada.
That sounds right.
I'd never experienced that before. I feel like I've watched those apps in like Costa Rica.
Yeah.
But I don't know, it was surprising to me that I couldn't get those to
work. I took a trip a month ago, very similar to yours, cottage, very nearby where you were actually, for a few days. And my father-in-law was trying to watch tennis. He couldn't figure it out, and I knew that I couldn't help him, but my wife's sister lives in Toronto, and they came to the rescue and streamed their own stuff so he could watch.
Right.
Otherwise.
Okay, anyway, so sidebar. So, yeah, I missed Futures Day. There was no – I was not eligible to get my gamble on from where we were either.
Bet Online sent out player prop, you know, futures for a lot all over the league. I mean, I've got a bunch of teams here by division. It's weird that they have Douglas on the Bills for interceptions, but guys that you, I guess I'm thinking over when I ask this, doesn't have to be, that you would bet overs on. I feel like your number one guy would be Coleman.
Depending on the numbers, but yeah, they're probably pretty modest. He doesn't warrant more than that, and I would probably hit the over on everything attached to him because I'm thinking like 68 and I don't know 900 yards or something.
Yeah, that would be clear.
Yeah,
overs on all of those. Bet Online has his numbers at 45.5 catches, so 3 a week tops that. Doesn't sound good, does it? Doesn't sound like a huge step forward.
Like
3 a week,
not a lot of eating there, I don't think.
No. Right, just nibbling. But that would get it done. 45.5, 725.5 yards. Last year, his yards were okay. Like, he did not have...
No, he was on pace for like 900 yards when he got hurt. I think, like 890 maybe. I saw a projection that if he had followed, you know, if the projection would have hit reasonably close, he would have been like top five in all the categories for rookie receivers. Which I think you'd be like, okay, that's pretty good. You know, he was the, what, the eighth guy, seventh guy taken, whatever number he was.
Eight,
I forget.
Maybe. Seven in the first round and then Coleman?
I think that's right. So,
and he would have been behind McConkie.
Either way, like a top five rookie receiving year for this season, not all time, but last year, that would have been really good. So I think it's there. I mean, and listen, it's the time of the year you can choose to be discerning. Well, everyone's discerning to some extent, just how discerning you actually want to be about the work the guy put in the off season and how the coaches sound about him and his teammates. Because, you know, like Ross Tucker told us a couple of hours ago, I get traded from New England to Cleveland. I'm talking up how good Charlie freaking Fry is. Like, really? You know, so guys aren't going to tell you. But it stands to reason to me, like, I can buy that Coleman did work. And even going back to before all of that really started is when I asked Sal, like, what do you see different? It was very early in camp and you were away. Like, what do you see from year one to year two? And that's where he came up with intentional. Like, he just looks like he has a plan how he wants to get open and use his feet and his hands and whatever. There's just more intent behind every move he's making. And then Joe Brady, I think, within the last couple of weeks, used that same phrasing to describe Coleman and the improvements he's made. Like, I'm buying him. Again, you don't have to. You can be skeptical. I'm skeptical about plenty of guys that I hear that sort of stuff about. But I'm choosing to buy Coleman.
I really only like the touchdown number for him, 4.5. Last year he had 4. You point out that he was hurt. He is a player that can break one for you. Like, and he has a big enough body where they could go to him, you know, third and seven on a slant or something like, or fade, some sort of a play like that. Like, he might be your best guy for that. Kincaid maybe, but
back
that doesn't really happen.
Shoulder stuff, yeah.
Right. So I'd sooner get to over 4.5 touchdown catches. Again, last year he had 4 with all of this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Than anything else. 725.5 yardage-wise seems like a lot. I mean, he probably doesn't come in at 19 yards per catch again. And, you know, the totals, if they're going to play the same brand of offense, you know, and I don't know that I want to go 50 catches, even though that's not that many
mm-hmm.
for him. Plus, you could get an injury. But the touchdown number, I'm with you. I do kind of like that. No one's higher on this particular board. Shakir is 4.5. Coleman is 4.5. Kincaid is 3.5. It's amazing.
For touchdowns, yeah.
Touchdowns. Receptions.
Right.
Rushing touchdowns, Allen 10.5, Cook 8.5. Joe Ostrowski mentioned, I did their show last week, Cook at that number. Would you go over or under 8.5? He had 16. He had 2 the year before.
I expect regression, but I would still go over. I think you can, you know, you can get your regression and still get 10, which you know, pretty comfortably win that bet. So maybe you're sweating that to buy, you know, if you're only sitting on 8 with a couple weeks to go. But nonetheless, I would hit the over on that. I don't think he's going to get 16, but I do think they will be motivated. I think whether it's conscious or subconsciously, I think they're going to want to put him in spots to get those touchdowns again. I don't think they're going to get away from that. It's really the opposite of what I thought could have happened if they didn't get a contract done, which would be, well, let's just get Ray Davis some run here. He's probably going to be our guy, the first in line to replace Cook if he leaves. But obviously they got the contract done. And while I don't think it would be in their best interest, and nor do I predict that they will use him more because of the contract, I think they will want to keep using him like they did last year in those goal line opportunities. So I think he'll get plenty of those. And to me, I'd be pretty comfortable going over 8.5 myself.
Cook, we're on Cook. Cook at Offensive Player of the Year is 60-1. What would it have to be? The same kind of touchdown numbers
with twice the yards.
Maybe.
I mean, that's what Barkley was last year, right?
Yeah.
I mean. Yeah, it's just not – that is not attainable.
Not if he's playing 44%.
No.
Coleman is 200-1, by the way, for that award, since we were talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
Offensive Player of the Year. Same as Kincaid and Shakir. I made an Offensive Player of the Year bet. I haven't seen you since this.
Oh, yeah.
In Indiana, I was a couple weekends ago in Indiana, and you could bet awards. Now, you should have seen my face when I realized this. You should have seen – I mean, you could hear me all the way across the barn. You went, oh! Something like that. And I bet 2 awards. The second of which I thought of when I was driving just before leaving the state. Like, oh, I wanted to do one more thing. And pulled over and like on a highway. Not great, but that's what happened. That was a Prescott MVP bet,
mm-hmm.
which I think is already dead. I think the Parsons trade maybe killed the Prescott. I mean, he's already 30-1. But if Dallas had a good season, which they've had several with Prescott, like 12-win seasons, if they found their way to another one, might be helpful to have the best defensive player in the league.
Probably, but it's a little like Allen last year. If you're perceived as disadvantaged, but still put up, you know, maybe you don't have the most passing yards or the most passing touchdowns, the most of anything, but it's all really, really great across the board, and somehow your team wins 12 games.
That's what you need.
Then there's your pathway to Dak Prescott winning the MVP. Like, I liked him as an idea, and the Parsons thing hurts the chances of the team having that year, but somehow if they still have something like that, then it enhances his candidacy, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Because they have to win.
Yeah, right. And if you think Parsons, and you might be right to think Parsons changes them from potentially if they hit their ceiling, it's 12 and now it's 10 or 9 because of Parsons, then you're not winning the MVP with that year. You're going to need to be, you know, you're going to need to win the division and win 12 games.
We talked about this so much last year with Diggs gone.
Right.
And the MVP stuff with Allen. And it just, it had to be said every time. You can, it can happen. There's a path if you win. And they did. It happened exactly the way it would have, except for the fact that his numbers really weren't that great. They cut back on turnovers. He made the highlight plays, the rushing stuff. Like, he did all that, and the team won. So he had a better season than Mahomes with one quarterback whose team finished above the Bills, maybe the only one. I mean, in the league, I don't know. Detroit might have had a better record still. Like, it happened with the team's success, with the reality that he hadn't won it yet and had been close twice. Like, so there was sort of that maybe bias in it. But it happened despite not, like, his best numbers at all and Jackson having better ones. And they just didn't want to give him another one.
Yeah, fatigue there. So, he's won it twice and et cetera. Yeah, really, it played out. A lot of the things that we talked about around the award and how it could go, I think, came to pass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't want to give Jackson a third already. And that's how I perceive it. I'm not trying to take a victory lap on, like, how right we were. But I think a lot of that stuff played out like we thought it might. So what's the other futures thing you did besides Prescott?
Kittle at 150-1 to win Offensive Player of the Year.
Okay.
George Kittle. Mm. Heard of him?
Yeah. I'm familiar.
That's a long shot.
That sounds like it. Yeah.
150-1.
Yeah.
10 to win 1,500. Or 20 to win three large.
Go for it.
I did. That money just does not feel like real money when it's in that account. It's just sort of
right.
That's bad, people. Don't be like me in that respect. But one of the things we talked about last year, and this was more about Saquon Barkley and the MVP as the season was playing out. He was having this historic season. Would voters want credit for not, because they don't have to, picking a quarterback? You know, wouldn't if you were a voter for the MVP award, you might like to flaunt that you didn't have to pick a quarterback. And here's a guy who had a record season. Mm-hmm. Derrick Henry had almost the same season and didn't. Just Barkley was above him. So, and Barkley didn't come that close to winning the MVP in the end.
No.
But I thought, enough, because you're sort of like, this is fans too. How do we want to show that we know football? It's like you talk about the offensive line. You talk about different things that aren't everybody's topic. They're not so obvious. So I've got to vote. I want to, you know, at least take seriously the possibility that a non-quarterback is the MVP. And I think Kittle is perfect for this. Because he is, I did this the other day. I'm sorry. It's like the same time of day as I think I did it on Friday. I'm talking about this, making the same points. But he's somebody that, like, he's your favorite football player's favorite football player. Like, he's somebody that, you know, complete. But the Niners don't, in fantasy, he's a headache because they don't need him to catch 8 passes a game.
They don't feed him.
Sometimes it's 2.
Right.
They had Debo Samuel. They had Ayuk. McCaffrey, of course. Well, they don't have Debo Samuel anymore, and they don't have Ayuk. They might or might not have Juwan Jennings, whatever that is. Who knows if Pearsall's good? McCaffrey seems like that's on time. Like, he might be as good as ever. But after him, there could be a target void. And so I like Kittle for somebody that can fill it on a more regular basis. And, you know, this would be another... I wasn't proven right last year on this logic, but another one where I'm a voter, I'm like, you know what would really look good on me is if I voted for the best football player in the league or the best player in the league that's not a quarterback, at least. And he's been that guy for like 3 years, I think, at least offensively. He's always talked about on that sort of exalted status. So those are the two bets I made.
Yeah.
Futures day.
Well, they're both going to lose. But, you
they're
know,
both. That's all your bets are going to lose anyway. That's
right. Fine. You know, whatever. I got to, you know. I finally, after doing the ads all spring and summer, I dove in on Dinger Tuesday today. I've got the three.
Dinger Tuesday.
I threw in. I don't know. It got me. I had some money. You know.
Quote money.
Yeah, right. I wasn't in there last week because I couldn't do anything. So just like, oh, okay. Well, what can I do? Oh, I can do that tonight. Oh, sure. Yeah. All right. Yeah, fine. $10.
So who are we rooting for? We're going to be out together.
Yeah, right. For at least for a while. Yeah.
not staying for the Padres game. Is that what you're saying?
Probably
you'll
not.
You'll be out of there before the late games.
I'm on early games anyway. Right. Let's see. Nimmo, Betts, and Ellie De La Cruz.
Okay. Cruz has the Blue Jays. De La Cruz rather has the Blue right, Jays. They're right. Slipping.
Yeah. The Mets are at Detroit, and the Dodgers are in Pittsburgh.
Are they?
Yeah. So
I have a baseball thing for you.
Oh, yeah?
Since you brought up baseball. Listen to this. You familiar with the pitcher Robin Roberts?
I know the name. Phillies, right?
Yep. Almost his entire career. 50s and 60s, or late 40s into the 60s, Roberts. Workhorse. This guy went different times, right? Early 50s, six seasons in a row. Over 300 innings.
Wow.
Right? Now 150 is a lot.
Right.
Half that. Then 297 the next year. So basically he went 7 years in a row at 300 innings. And a couple were like 346, 336. Incredible. And he had, 150 complete games over that span. Something insane. I was listening to a podcast about him. 4,688 and two-thirds innings over 19 years, okay? 250 innings a year for 19 years.
Mm-hmm.
How many wild pitches? For reference sake, or is it references sake, Nolan Ryan, 5,300 innings, more, 277 wild pitches.
I'm going to say that this guy's got like 25.
33. Of course, there's no way to set it up without
right.
knowing, giving, like I'm about to tell you something amazing.
You're cluing me in that it's going to be a really low number. Right.
He had at 250 to 300 innings a year, he had like one wild pitch a year. Wow. One and a half. How can you explain that? Here's one point. He's pitching to contact, right, in the 50s and 60s?
Okay.
Shallower lineups. No, we didn't have any shortstops who could hit. You know, pitchers are batting. It wasn't as hard.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to bear down probably on relatively speaking, bear down on everybody. You know, you're trying to pitch to contact. You're trying to get ground balls and pop-ups. So he's probably not throwing 97.
Just kind of laying it in there.
A little bit. So he didn't have to be as aggressive and sort of like, you know, violent. Out there, which, you know,
hurt your control. Yeah.
Exactly. A.J. Burnett had 25 wild pitches in one season.
Sure he did, yeah.
This guy had 33 in 19. Thought you'd like that.
Did you go look for Burnett just because you remembered him as somebody who was wild?
No. So this is, again, from Joe Posnanski's book that I'm listening to, and the chapter on top 100 players. The chapter on Roberts said all this, including okay. Burnett.
Gotcha.
He's like, here's a guy who had 25 in 1 year. This guy had 33. Kind of like, this is the most amazing thing about Robin Roberts.
Right.
Which I don't know to be wrong.
Right.
I love that. All right. We've got a draft tonight, so we're heading out. But we had a great chat with Ross Tucker earlier, and we'll have that next for you here on WGR.